Hello, welcome to Between Axles, your not-so-serious car podcast. My name is Peter, I'm your host, and I'm joined by four of my great co-hosts from Melbourne to Auckland. And today, as the very first episode, we're going to cover a topic that would interest a lot of you. Buying your ideal first car. Let's do it. Just before we get into the podcast, I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today. It means a lot. It's been a long journey to get to where we are, and we are hoping that we can bring topics and guests and hopefully sponsors that you would find interesting and engaging so you can listen to us for future podcasts to come. Thanks for joining us. And as our first podcast, we'd love to introduce you to my fellow co-host. We'll start with Melbourne, Paul.
Yeah, well, Peter, thanks for having me here, mate. Appreciate it. Hey, everyone, my name is Paul. Been working with cars since I was, since we're in the teens, as we all do. Currently drive I don't even drive it. I don't even push it. It stays in my garage. An old 1977 Datsun 260Z 2+2. It was working at one point, but like with every old car, it just falls apart and just doesn't want to go anymore. So hopefully I can bring it back to life.
Great. Thank you so much. Jono?
Hey, everyone. My name's Jono. I'm also based in Melbourne, Australia, but I was originally from Auckland, New Zealand. So I actually have a couple of Hondas still living there. One being a Honda Tourneo Euro R, and the other one is actually a motorcycle. It's a Honda Jazz. So yeah, fun fact, the Jazz name was actually used in both their car and motorcycle lineup. In Melbourne, I drive a Volkswagen Up that serves as my daily duties. And I'm also working on the Datsun that Paul mentioned earlier. It's a joint project between us.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jono. We'll move on to our Auckland team. And we'll start by Luan.
Yeah, hey everyone, I'm Luan. I've been hanging around cars and working on cars for quite a while. I've owned a whole bunch of different cars, from classic cars to, you know, pretty modern European cars as well. At the moment I have an Alfa Romeo 1.7 GTA. So that was a project car that I bought. I've also got a project E55 AMG, and that is almost finished, so that's pretty exciting. And then I also drive a C200 compressor wagon as my normal kind of daily car. And I also have a car Instagram and a car YouTube channel.
Thank you so much, Luan. Let's move on to Min.
Hey guys, Min here. Been into cars for quite some time now as well, since I was pretty much 18. Currently driving a Evo 7 and an S15. And I've got a project DC2 that I'm working on.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Min. And the last of all, yours truly, Peter. And I'm the founder of Between Axles podcast. I'm also based in Auckland. And I am probably the most boring out of the lot here. So as a dad, I drive a VW Golf station wagon. And I also have a reasonably new CX-9 that I use for a daily as well. So hopefully we can cover a wide range of listeners and listeners' intentions of either purchasing, servicing, obtaining any new cars, parts to the podcast to come. But today, let's get into the first topic, which is ideal first cars. To begin this topic, we'd like to begin with the Melbourne team, and we'll go through what our co-host has had for their first car. What their experience was, how much it costs, any funny or cool stories they had. So we'll jump back to Melbourne and we'll start with Paul.
Thankfully for me, I've only ever really had one love of my life during my first years of car, and that was my 1996 San Silvia S14. That
respect.
Thing was just... but this was back in the day where cars like that were just going for cheap. That's a silly. I think I bought mine for about $6,000, and that was a non-turbo five-stud model though, so it was a used edition. Had a lot of the electronic extras, had power windows, electronic air conditioning, ABS, hi-cas. It was a great car, first car for me, because I wanted to get into the track day scene. Really could have some fun with it. It wasn't fast by any stretch of the imagination, but it handled well for what it was. I kept that for about just over 5 years, just modifying it bit by bit, buying all the good stuff, coilovers, brakes, interior, did a diff. I eventually turbocharged it. I just feel like I had enough power. But yeah, I haven't really got any crazy stories about it other than I probably put it away for about 2 years in my driveway, just working away at it. And then I finally got it all finished and prepped and got it certified. So it was a road legal car. And then I sold it about a month later and then I went to Melbourne. So that's probably the craziest story I have about it.
And then we'll go on to Jono. Tell us about your first car, how you got it, how much was it, any interesting stories you have.
All right, yeah, so my first car was a Volkswagen Polo. It was just a hand-me-down, so nothing special. It was pretty average, actually, but it, you know, got me from uni and back, so it was great. There was nothing interesting about the car. The only kind of funny quirk was that the central locking didn't work properly, so you could only unlock the car from the passenger side. So every time you go back to your car, you always look like a gentleman when you open the car up. But besides that, yeah, it was pretty lame. I had it for a few years and then I got rid of it as soon as I could.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to Luan.
Yeah, well, my first car was not a hand-me-down, luckily. I think my parents bought it for me for about $3,000. It was a Toyota Marino. It's not a very common model. You don't really see it very often, but it's basically a live-in or a Torino chassis. And it's got the same engine as a live-in or Torino. It even comes in a manual. You can even get the blacktop or silvertop version of that as well. So it's actually quite a nice car. Mine was not a blacktop or silvertop. It was just a really simple 4A FE with about 110 horsepower. And it was an auto. The biggest memory that I have of it was my first and probably only crash. So I was coming around a corner on the way to uni, and a bit of sunstroke hit me in the morning, and I didn't slow down like I should have, and I hit someone who was coming out of the driveway who also didn't see me. Luckily, it was only a fender that was damaged, so it was a pretty lucky escape for me. But that was my probably most vivid memory of that car. And then I sold it. After about 4 years, it got me to uni every single day. 4 years was really reliable. It was a Toyota. I think the only thing we had to do was repair like the steering rack, I think, and it was only about $400. So yeah, I've still got pretty fond memories of it. One day I'm hoping that I'm gonna find a manual 4AGE blacktop version and give it some love.
Okay, thank you so much, Luan. Moving on to Min.
Honda Del Sol. Quite a cool car. My folks bought it for me.
Yeah. That's a cool car.
It was quite interesting at that time though, because that car had a full body kit, 17-inch chromes. I put like neons in the car, Fast and the Furious. You know,
I was just like, gonna say.
So the car looked like it came out of like a Fast and the Furious. It was quite a fun car, but yeah, we bought it for $4,000, and that thing had quite a lot of problems, so we ended up spending like $10,000 on the car, just redoing the whole ABS braking system and all that sort of stuff to get it just on the road pretty much.
Doesn't really sound like financial advice here.
So I mean it's first car, you know, looked at it, was like, hell yeah, this is really nice, bought it. But you know, sort of learned as we went on that we bought a lemon. But once we got everything all fixed up, it was quite fun.
Interesting story and interesting car. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
And lastly, my first car was also a hand-me-down, and it was a beautiful Nissan Bluebird ARX 1994 in auto. And that was my mum's car. and that was about $4,000 when we got it. We wanted to talk about some of the first cars that people buy and some that you shouldn't buy. And we want to go through certain budget levels. So we start by cars from under 3,000 New Zealand, and then we'll go into under 5,000, under 10,000. So we just have on our screen for our co-host our very first budget car, and this is a 2002 BMW 320i. The seller says it's in good condition and it's done 151,057 kilometers in auto. Did I say that already? Yeah, I think I did. There's not much to really say about this car. It's
yeah, except it's a bad idea for a first car, I think, to be honest. There's a lot of issues with those four-cylinder BMWs. I mean, it'll drive really well, it'll be really comfortable, it'll probably be quite safe. Not sure if it's a good idea as a very first car, unless you're going to have a very good relationship with your mechanic.
Yeah, I agree with you. What are the common problems with this car, based on your experience?
Valve cover gaskets. Usually no one's done the spark plugs. There's a lot of plastic in those engines, so like the oil filter housing. Not sure about the specific model, but quite a few of the newer BMWs have plastic oil filter housings and thermostats. The intake and the manifold, it's all made out of plastic. So when you're buying an almost 20-year-old car, that plastic has been in there for 20 years.
I can see that dash is not too bad, but
Yeah, I mean, the interior would be quite nice, definitely.
I think for a word of advice for people selling their cars on TradeMe is to get some very good wide shot. We want to see more information, unless obviously you're hiding something. Picture we're looking at right now is of the dash, but it's on a certain angle that you can't really see a heck of a lot. And especially for these cars, I think also Volkswagen as well. Luan talked about the plastics, and as soon as you notice cracks on the dash and the sagging roof liners, you know it needs a bit of love.
There's a lot of soft touch paint in these cars as well. I don't know why that looks like such a big trend in the early 2000s, but a lot of these cars have like really badly faded soft touch material, so that's another area that you need to look out for as well.
I wouldn't really say luxury, but I guess if you really want a BMW, it's a tricky one. I wouldn't recommend it personally.
Well, it says good condition in the listing. I mean, it's could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can trust that guy. Check out his rating. What is his rate? What's his trade rating?
Let's see. What is this person?
100% positive feedback.
100%.
Yeah. Five feedback.
The next one is a 2007 Nissan Titan. So probably not a car for car enthusiasts. I'm just going to say that right now. I know it's super popular with Ubers and just people looking for a cheap, economical car. But we want to hear your thoughts.
Can we just skip to the next one? This is just...
It's a little sad.
There's 34 people watching this auction, so there's definitely some kind of interest. Hold on.
They're marketing to a demographic. Look, it's four-wheel drive, guys. It's four-wheel drive.
There you go. It's got such strange proportions, isn't it?
Fair enough. It's done 178,000 Ks. So it's actually not, you know, it's still got a bit of life in it. It's in the Nissan Titan. So there's parts and servicing will be fairly easy.
Just flick to the interior shot again. I don't know why some of these Japanese cars, they have like such strange interiors. Does anyone know why they do this?
Give us an example. So we're looking at the dash with the front seats and the steering wheel. What particular item
like
is
the,
odd?
The color of the seats. It looks beige, you know. It's, you know, why not just have it black?
I've seen something very weird in their older car.
Okay, let's move on and get rid of this sorry car. 2001 Honda Fit in red. It's done 151,819 kilometers. It's a 1.4 WAF and Rego still current. I wouldn't mind it as a first car. I think it'll be cheap on gas. It'll be good, easy to insure. Look, if I wasn't a car enthusiast and I need something to A to B, I'd rather have the Honda Fit than the Tita.
Well, even if you're a car enthusiast, have you seen some of the best motoring videos where they modify these Fits? They go pretty well. They're actually pretty decent chassis.
No, never seen that before. Probably just share that, share some videos with us.
Yeah. The only worry about these is the CVT transmissions. If it's not a CVT, then it should be all good. But if it's just CVT, then best to avoid these early Honda Jazzes.
Let's move on. So this is a 2005 Mazda Versa. $3,000, done 195,000 kilometers. Obviously on auto, 1.5 liter. I don't know. I test drove one of these years ago, and it just felt super underpowered. Just going from point A to B, you have to rev it hard to get it anywhere, and that's on flat land. So yeah, it's tricky. I see it on the road quite a lot.
Is it basically just a Demio? I think it's a Demio, right?
I think so. I think it's actually based on the same platform as a Demio.
Yes. Demio, also known as one of the most stolen cars in New Zealand. I'm not sure why.
Because they're easy to steal, I think.
No, probably. It would probably be very reliable. Although 200,000 Ks is getting quite high. But just not the most fun car. It's got alloys.
It definitely has alloys.
Car is not a bad thing, you know. If you're a first car buyer, you don't want something fast. You know, saves you money on tickets and all that kind of thing. You won't get into any trouble with this kind of car. It's brilliant.
How's the Mazdas in general for early, mid-2000s? Just any Mazda?
Better than the 90s Mazdas. One time I was driving my dad's Mazda 3, and that was like a late 90s model. Yep. And it was supposed to have ABS, and I braked not that hard down a hill, and it literally locked up for about, 20 or 30 meters. I wouldn't recommend getting a 90s Mazda, but I think the mid-2000s were okay.
So the Versa is based on a Demio platform, but it looks bigger. So that must mean it's heavier. So you'd rather just get a Demio, right?
I think it just looks bigger, but I think they're probably about the same size, actually.
Right.
I agree. I think it just looks bigger.
Anyway, let's move on to 2000 Honda Integra SIR. $5,000 this guy wants. It's in red, and it's done 212,000 kilometers. It's interesting because it's more than five owners, so it's got a fair bit of history. Yeah, if you're getting a car like this, I would highly suggest getting it checked out, because it would have gone through a fair bit of history. Especially at over 200,000 Ks.
Yeah, but also Hondas, especially these sort of Hondas, are pretty easy to work on and the parts are pretty available. So, it's probably not a big deal.
Cool. The next car is a stock standard 2007 Toyota Camry GL. They are asking for $5,000 and it's done 185,000 Ks. And I think this is the perfect ideal first car for someone who's not really looking for speed. Or anything else that's more fun?
I fully agree with that statement. It is literally the most boring car you'll ever get, but at the same time, it'll be the most reliable you ever get. So,
the biggest problem is that it's so big. That's probably the one thing that doesn't make it an ideal first car. But apart from that, it's probably a pretty good one.
Next one, quickly, is the 2006 Nissan Pulsar. Done 148,000 Ks, and they want $4,000 for it.
Nice. I have a very soft spot for the Pulsars. I used to have an N15 Pulsar, and that thing, great.
What was so great about it?
It was an Autech edition N15, so I had an SR20 with like 180 horsepower or something like that. It had cams, it had an aftermarket computer, had new exhaust, so it had a few extra trick parts, but it was just such a practical car. Like, it was very small, so you can park wherever you want, but if you wanted to go out and have a bit of fun in it, it had the power to do.
Cool. I like it. There's a few questionable stains on the back seat, but for $4,000, what more could you ask?
Yeah. Now, if you really want alphas, I've actually linked you another one that I
Okay,
think might
let's
fit
open that
into
up.
the $3,000 category.
Yep.
This is like some of my left field suggestions.
Okay.
Now,
Oh,
this
I
is
see.
for your first car, right? This is a 2-liter twin spark 156 with a 5-speed manual, and it's only done 150,000 kilometers.
Yep.
I would definitely get this as a first car.
Problem is, not a lot of people know how to drive manual these days.
Oh, it's a good
So,
chance to learn.
yeah, I highly encourage anyone that's listening, if you're just learning to drive, to learn in a manual car. I think a lot of people don't get that opportunity.
Yeah, well, what's everyone else think? How's the 156 look for everyone else?
It looks all right. It's not JDM, but looks all right.
It has the cool hidden rear door handles before it was cool.
Exactly. That's cool.
There's a lot of
And
Italian design gone into it, but I don't consider this as a pretty car. I don't know. It's I think the conclusion of just going through all these cars is that if you know a mate who's a mechanic, you can get European. We give you permission. But if you just don't, it's so tricky to recommend any Euro, whether it's Beamer, Alfa, Audi.
Honestly, with my own experience, Alfa is
Yeah.
actually really, really good. You can do a lot of stuff yourself. The parts are actually pretty readily available. So that's why I said the 156 is a really ideal first car because it'll kind of
Sure.
teach you how to fix things.
Yep.
It's really rewarding as an ownership experience.
Okay.
So yeah, that's probably my pick out of. And I think I would have probably learnt manual a lot faster if I had done it with my first car. And it was a really reliable car again, and it was the same engine as my first car, so there's a lot of crossover. And then my third car was the Nissan Silvia, so I probably would have picked between the Livan or the Silvia for my first car if I could do it again.
Fair enough. I love the live-ins, and if I had to do it, I would also go for a live-in or a Truno. I missed the opportunity to learn manual as my first car. My dad used to have a Toyota Sprinter. I can't remember exactly what the model code was. It was an 88, 1988, and that was a manual, but never got to learn. It was written off before I got my first license. But I would personally go sorry, Toyota.
There you go, Torino.
Trino, there you go, yes.
That's our first car. Look at that.
4,500 dollars.
That seems cheap.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so I think that actually wraps up, and I think we actually came to the conclusion, based on what we just talked about, that the Toyota Levin and maybe a Honda Civic would be the best first car.
It's all JDM. It's all good.
All
Definitely
JDM.
the Honda
All
Civic.
JDM.
Yep.
Sorry,
Yep, I agree.
Luan. No 1.56
Come
alphas.
on, but Alfa Romeo, come on.
No one else was supporting you. I was like.
The $3,000 Alfa is exactly what you need.
And let's wrap up our podcast for today and conclude and give our audiences what between axles would recommend as the ideal first car. And the common theme here among all of the co-hosts is Japanese cars. All of our first cars, except for Jono's Polo, have all been Japanese cars. We really love the simple nature of Luan's Merino, which means the Toyotas of that era, the 90s and early 2000s, they were reliable, they're economical, and they're so cheap to repair. I would personally recommend, and I think most of our co-hosts agree, the Livin is a great choice for your ideal first car. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your support. We have another podcast coming up later this week where we'll talk about Hondas, the legacy of Hondas, where they are now, and would our co-hosts buy a new Honda today? I hope you can join us for that podcast. And from the team at Between Axles, thank you very much.